Yeah. Wow. We've gone on such a journey together. And don't want to go into the stars with anyone else besides you three.
So, aww.
Thank you.
Shucks.
Gay?
Yeah.
Gay.
Bow, 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 bow. Gay.
Hey, who? Well,
speaking of gay, welcome to Queers on Dice, the queerest podcast this side of the Milky Way galaxy.
Yes.
We're so gay and queer that the word gay actually echoes within our heads at every waking moment. And it's through the sheer power of mental force that we actually quiet it so that we can come to play. Yeah.
Free us.
free us from this mortal coil that is our world.
Yes, it never stops.
It never stops.
The gay, the queer is serving so hard in my brain.
Telltale gay.
It's just tongue pops all day in here. That's pretty good.
Thanks. I've been working on it.
Yeah.
My mouth is too small to do a big one.
Yeah. Oh.
That felt like a glancing cop. Ooh,
oh,
that was good, yeah, Annie.
I felt that one.
My name is Aris Throttle, and I am a game master here. And I'm not the best tongue popper in the world, but you know what I am good at? Making weird situations and making mind flayers fall in love. Not mutually exclusive. And with me, as always, are the intrepid space tour guides of your dreams, of your fantasies, wherever you've ever wanted to go. Such as the Redwood National Forest, they could have taken you if they were here on Earth. But they're not. They're in space. They have escaped into the astral sea. And I want to understand from them, what is the greatest small victory that your character has achieved in their daily life?
Whoa.
Wow.
Like something they achieve every day?
Or have achieved. Like, I can start. I know what mine is.
Uh-huh.
I got really good at throwing things into the trash from wherever I'm at in the room.
Wait, for real? This is a skill.
I'm pretty good at it. Yeah.
I can't wait to see this.
Well, it has to be unobserved.
Oh.
Nobody pressure. Can be watching. But
if there's like an open can somewhere and I've got like refuse, I'm really good at estimating it and getting it in there. That's my small everyday.
You're an inspiration.
Thank you.
Don't let anybody ever tell you otherwise.
I don't.
Good. Yeah. Hi, my name is Nick, and I play Flandel, the plasmoid barbarian. Flandel's everyday victory is just getting up.
Jesus Christ.
Looking in the mirror and saying something affirming about himself, because he feels like he killed his whole family.
Oh.
So,
oh my God, sorry.
So, he's got to build himself back up, and he's doing it.
Yeah,
one day at a time. Yep.
Flandel takes 3d6 psychic damage every morning he wakes up.
Yeah.
Oh,
he does affirmations. Peaks would be based on like their mom, but they don't. It doesn't exist anymore. So,
but you have a family friend that knows your mom,
apparently. But that, like, Peaks still questions that because, like, even though it's one of those things where it's like you're told that this thing happened, but because in your brain it never existed, like, how do you believe that?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. It's a reality versus what's in here. And what your brain is telling you.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like there are unicorns. Like, what? There's no what? So it's, yeah, I don't know. It's difficult.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting because it feels like, sorry, this is getting so talkbacky, but it's like Magenta could have just been using Peak to further her own goals.
Right.
Ring a ding. No, I'm kidding.
Ah.
I just like to say that.
Ding dong, darling.
Ding dong. Magenta's the big bad.
Knew it.
You figured out my trap card. Yugi boy.
Oh, okay. Hi, my name is Lisa Frankenstein. I play Peek, the tiefling warlock. And I think that Peek's little victory every day, as far as when they're in open space, is not thinking about Hadar.
Oh, you thought about him. Oh.
So that he doesn't come here.
Yeah.
That's That's Peek's little victory.
Yeah.
Is keeping that under control.
Feels good.
I didn't think about something today. La-dee-da. Yeah.
It's keeping it far from the brain.
Beautiful.
Hi.
I don't know why that came out so weak. That came out awful. Hi. I'm Major Hammy, and I play Jen of Awe. You know, the one you love. And Jen's small victory. I don't know if it's a small victory or if it just like is the one thing that helps her get through her day without thinking about sadness and awfulness. But, you know, she was a bounty hunter for a very long time. And she has a little book, not with like all the names of everybody that she had to off, but of like little trinkets or things from them to remember them by, even if that's just like an image that she saw around that they had a lot of things about, a lot of, or like the
like iconography, right?
Exactly, like, yeah. exactly. And every day she pulls it out, holds it, cries a single tear into it, and says, "I'm sorry," into the universe, and closes it up, and then is able to go on through her day being a baddie.
What?
Wow.
The fuck?
Gotta get through it somehow.
Yeah, no.
Can't do all that. But I mean, she gives off the fact that she's an absolute cold bitch, but in reality, that's obviously not the case.
Right. Yeah.
I gotta get through this. I gotta get through this. I gotta make it through. Did you think it would get that dark?
For all three of you? No, I can, give me a trash can. I can get it in.
Way to set the tone.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I like how everyone really follows my lead whenever I really establish something. People are like, yeah.
Yeah.
I want to do exactly
keep
that
it light.
And not deviate. And that's true for every single moment of this adventure, I would say.
That's right. Perfectly in step.
Speaking of going with a plan, last time on Queers on Dice, the gang managed to concoct a distraction and a deviation and create love via elopement within the Mind Flayer space with the help of some new allies, some foretold and some... Actually, they both were foretold in their own way, weren't they? Gerzy and... Truffle Cake jumped into my head, but that's not her name.
Yes, it is now.
Truffle Cake. Tallow Cake.
Tallow Cake. Like, why am I thinking of Truffle Cake? Tallow Cake and Gerzy really came in clutch to kind of help both mechanically and alchemically to let them steal the brain of Anduul through some very significant mortal danger. The gang managed to make it out and jump into the waiting arms or pillows of Azor and make a quick exit out of Thinkeasy and into the Astral Sea. Finally, with brain in tow, safely tucked away with inside a jacket pocket, not slurped inside of flannel, but outside. And it's just like, it's a rock. It's a pretty blue rock.
Hmm.
And we're going to pick right back up with the gang having been captured and delicately set down onto the deck of the Light Azor.
You can see Flandel, once like sort of big and spiky and just a black ooze, has now shrunk down to his normal sort of size. And he hits the deck of the ship. And he just checks his pocket, the pocket of the jacket really quickly to make sure the brain is still there.
It's gone. No.
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 You don't stop with this tomfoolery.
I'm so sorry. Hemi, I'll get in line. I'm so sorry.
It's okay. Be a bully. I love it.
Just tell love us it. Where it went and we'll go find it.
Yeah. Oh my God, it's not there. Oh, no, wait. It's the other
it's
side.
It's the
other jacket.
Got it.
The inside pocket.
Yeah, the little walnut's still there.
Okay. It's good. Everything's good. How are you guys? Everybody fine?
I'm a little bumped up, you know, that fall hurt, but I'm okay. How are you?
fabulous. I think that went surprisingly well. I thought we were going to encounter more shit, but well done, team. Go off.
That was exhilarating.
Yeah.
Yes, we're clapping for ourselves. I love it. Yeah. Round of applause for us.
Yes, absolutely.
Good job, everyone.
Sarika, Torin, you were present, and there, that was apparently enough.
Thank you. Oh, we're done clapping. Sorry, Torin and Sarika, we're going for a little bit longer than.
Oh, no.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, great job.
Oh my God, we finally have the brain. That's so exciting.
This is good. All we need to do is not run into Gandar and return this to Iona, and then she can show us the way back home.
Should we go straight to Iona?
Yes.
I think we ought to. I mean, where else should we go?
Nowhere.
She'll come to us. All we have to do is think about her in Hearthspace.
Oh, right.
We have to think about Endul in Hearthspace.
Yeah.
I think it'll work best if we get into a line and hold each other's shoulders.
Okay, like
in a line. Maybe make the line a circle. I feel like we have to connect.
Oh, we should connect. That seems right.
All right, everyone, put your hands on the shoulder of the person in front of you, and then the two people at the front and the back just link up. Make it like a little loop, a little fun loop.
Okay, great. I put my hands on Jen's shoulders.
Torin's like, I learned a little bit about this whole God thing from like talking through Jill. We're going to ditch before an Eldritch God appears before us. You all seem like you've got something special going on and like a connection. I don't think it's safe for us to be around it.
Okay. Are we back out? Are we out in wild space now? We are, right?
You are in the Astral Sea.
Oh, no, yes. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. You're back in the Astral Sea and you see this like pink diffuse light over the horizon of silvery mist. This familiar, it's kind of started to feel like home for you all. You've been out traveling along the sea for so long, or at least maybe if not home, comforting and familiar.
Wow, I could get used to this. I really hope that when we get back, we get the wild card license and we get to go come back here.
No.
Okay.
I see a world where that would be fun.
You don't like it here?
I don't know anymore.
Oh, okay.
I don't know what to do.
What's going on, Peek?
I just remembered Gandar is after us and is trying to get that brain. And also Hadar told me to destroy the brain. But then there's also the gore. So I don't know what to do. But if we are going to return the brain to Anduul, we need to do it as soon as possible. And I would like to rest because I'm hurt, but I think we should just chance it before Gandar finds us in this wild space.
Give me a religion check.
Okay. Oh, I don't have really good religion.
With advantage.
With advantage?
Yes. Okay. You've said some very good magic words there.
I got a 16.
There you go. Okay, so I'm going to introduce a new concept to y'all. You've heard of Cat Nope, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. This brain is essentially Eldritch God Cat Nip. And it was in a room that was isolated from any type of detection or ability to penetrate. And now, it's not.
Right.
So, Peek's definitely got the right idea because now you've just got a giant homing beacon on you.
Yeah. Let's all think of Anduul and bring Iona here before Gandar tries to find us.
Okay.
Torin, if you and Jill don't want to be here, that's fine. But you need to like get on a dinghy and move, baby, because we have to do this now.
All right, we're gone. Yeah, they go below deck. Yeah.
Oh, I thought he meant they literally wanted to like not.
So you two need to start thinking of it because my.
Got it. I hold your hand and I hold Jen's hand and I think about it.
Iona, we want you to be present with us because we are terrified and we have the brain. Oh,
so
yeah,
scared.
We got the brain. Yeah,
so
we're
scared.
So scared with the brain. It's so terrifying. Iona.
From almost across time and space itself, you hear a whoom, kind of just pass through. It's almost as if it's the force of a gong passes through your body. And similar to before, all those moons ago, a planet of giant silver pooled pits starts to inch closer and closer, kind of out of nowhere, but yet if you had been looking, it had been there the whole time. And you recognize the husk of Andul. And I have been counting the number of times that you each say either Andul and Iona or Gandar.
Oh my gosh.
And Gore. And you have said Andul more than you have Gore. Oh. Oh. And so you have been thinking more heavily about Andul this time, which
Jeez,
was good. I'm proud of you all.
Oh, God.
I would have known how much I'd be talking and detrimental it could be.
Gandar.
No. Oh, God, that's very bloody.
That's very Bloody Mary.
Told you guys.
Yummy new.
And that pulsing is just kind of like emanating from that planet. And as it gets closer, it's almost as if it's docking onto you. And that thrumming is getting louder and louder and louder. And it's a little overwhelming until suddenly you look up and you're not on the deck of Azor. You are once again on a flat silver pool that stretches as far as you can see in any direction.
Oh, well, that was quick. Yay.
Oh, we did it.
Yeah.
And as soon as you say that behind you, well, I said you just have to think about me and I'll appear. And behind you is Iona in her elfin form.
Hey, girl.
Pal.
Hi.
Long time no see.
It feels like it was just yesterday. It was like you've really been busy.
Yeah. May I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Before we do anything.
I love questions. I love puzzles. I love thinking.
So, Hadar.
Mm-hmm.
Why would he want to destroy Andul's brain?
What? Well, that's weird.
I mean, he might not have been talking about Andul's brain, but...
Well, the brothers are linked inextricably, right? And so you guys have brought a representation of every eldritch being in here. That's... Oof. It's, something stinks.
Oh no. I pull out the bit of my body that has the red... essence of Gore inside of it.
Nope. She ejects it.
Oh. Wait. Okay. Great.
Well.
Okay. Whoa. You're just throwing people's belongings everywhere.
Well, I mean, it's for your. It's like bringing a parasite inside of your body. It's just gross.
Okay.
What is? How do we get rid of that?
Get rid of what?
That thing that you just chucked.
Oh, it's gone.
No, it's taking over in other places outside of Andul.
Oh, you mean Gore.
Yeah.
Well, so I guess if you're describing Hadar wanting to destroy Andul's mind, which, naughty, naughty. the brothers are eternally at odds because they were at one point in some version of existence of the cosmos one. And so each brother represents a aspect of being. And so you have the mind, the body, and the soul. And so you have Andul, Gore, and Hadar, respectively. I know a lot about what having minds like, but bodies are weird. And souls are fickle things. And so the brothers have these aspects. And, you know, ever since they separated, they have different ideas of how things should be.
I just, I didn't realize they were, maybe this is just me not picking up on the cues, but I just didn't realize that they were all related.
I just didn't realize you were interacting with Gore. I mean, I knew you were a disciple, but like...
We didn't want to interact with him. He took over, so we...
Wait, is he out?
Yes.
Well, I assume so. He's spreading everywhere with a little fleshy. It's disgusting.
He's destroying a lot of stuff.
When we first came here, we came here with another group, and they split off from us and with an asteroid or something that transported us here. And when we found them again, they were in this space, red writhing planets, material that was slowly becoming organic and fleshy and weird. And we had to rescue some people from there, and we had to escape, and they've been tailing us ever since.
I think, did they open the asteroid? Didn't it pop up? And that's how, that's what released the gore potentially? Yeah, I don't know.
Something offered them ultimate power, and they accepted.
Well, gore's been sealed away for ever.
Oh, you know, he's not sealed anymore.
Well, sounds like a you problem.
Okay.
Anyways, where's the...
I'm not going to help us.
I'll get you... I am a man. Changes, shifts to a male dragonborn. Woman shifts to, like, a human female. And everything in between and, like, just, like, starts taking on a bunch of different shapes of my word. So, I'm taking you to Heartspace as soon as you hand me the brain.
Okay. I take it out of the...
Hold on. Will Gore destroy Endul?
He would if he could.
He probably will.
So he'd have to catch us first. But I probably can't stay away from him for very long if I don't have the brain.
I keep reaching into my jacket and I take it out. And...
Well, maybe you'd feel more comfortable if we were in a more comfortable space.
Oh, no.
She claps.
I was going to ask her to try and give us something or anything. Help us destroy Gore.
You're suddenly in this, like, beautiful, courtly place, and it looks like Parisian castles of, like, the 1800s, and everything's very gaudy and gold and everything like that. And you see a little wooden desk in the center, and it's like, this is where a trade should happen, on this ornate, polished marble. And she's got, like, a white wig, powdered wig on as a GIF man, and she's just like, okay, brain please. And she puts out a hand and it extends right next to Flandel.
What were you gonna
say? Flandel already asked about the circle thing in his chest when we first came here, right?
I don't think so.
Oh,
but it's probably good to ask a knowledge god something about that. I mean, if we have questions about anything.
Yeah,
we're in his debt. What can he say? No?
He's in your debt.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
All right. I take out the brain and I hold it in my hand and I look a peek.
Ask about your chest first.
Can you tell me what this thing is that's inside of me?
And then we'll give you the brain. But first you have to take a look-see.
Those weren't the terms.
Well, terms change.
I don't like that.
We went through a lot. We went through like 50 side quests, which you did not mention.
We almost died several times.
Multiple.
The space kind of like ripples unnaturally in a way where, and then it shapes into an earthquake that occurs really quickly. And she's like, sorry, I'll get that under control real quick. Okay. If I tell you what is that thingy in your thingy, you will give me my thingy.
Yeah, absolutely. Of course.
Great. I don't know, but if I had that brain, I could tell you. And I will transport you.
Okay.
All right.
Here. And I proffer it.
Proffer?
I hand it over.
What is proffer like a portmanteau of promise and offer?
Yeah, no, I think it's just
a good
stuffy
word.
Way of saying I give it.
Is proffer a real word?
Yeah.
Whoa. You're teaching a god something.
Whoa.
Iona's like, whoa, words.
It literally means hold out something to someone for acceptance.
Oh. Proffer.
Sick.
I proffer myself to you. No, I'm
kidding.
Wow, horny.
Wow.
Iona's fingers extend and very slowly each one latches on to the brain. And the fingers start to melt and fuse into the grooves of the brain. And as it kind of goes over it, she takes on a plasmoid appearance and absorbs the brain. And it actually sits right there in the center of her chest. And she turns into a halfling. And she's like, whoa.
Are you okay?
Feeling good? You look a little green.
I'm great.
You sound off.
Anyone can give an arcana check or a religion check.
Okay.
And just tell me what you're doing.
I'm doing arcana. 15.
I'm doing a arcana check, 16.
Mm-hmm.
But it's very intuitive, you know?
So sure.
Nope. I got a 6, so it doesn't matter.
6 religion. No.
I had to burp, so I burped to my shoulder.
Well, use it. We could have used that.
We could have used that.
Why are you keeping your burps?
Let loose next time.
Let loose.
Give us your burps.
Let loose.
Why am I being attacked for not sharing my bodily gases?
We've given you permission. You got no excuse.
We need that Foley burp.
Well, next time I have one built up, I will do it straight into the mic.
Thank you.
If you got more of a 15 with Arcana, that is a lot of magic to absorb as directly at one time as she is doing. And so she is a little bit stupefied right now. You've got a moment to yourselves as she's adjusting.
Okay, well, we don't have any reason to...
Oh, and the space goes back to a silver pool. She's not able to maintain that...
ornate area.
Yeah.
We've got a reason not to trust her. Everything she said has been true.
I just hope that once Andul comes back to life that our faces don't melt off and we don't die.
Yeah. Same. Also, are you going to be okay? Have you ever disobeyed Hadar?
Technically, I don't know what Brainy was talking about.
That's
well,
true. I mean,
I don't
honestly,
think he works on technicalities, unfortunately. I feel like he's very straightforward.
He really should have been more clear.
He could have been talking about the Mind Flayers.
Yeah.
That was also a brain with a big old eyeball on it. So, yeah, I mean, I've honestly never disobeyed Hadar because I've never been given any kind of communication or order. So no, I have no idea what's going to happen.
Okay. Well, if our minds do get melted away...
What?
By the presence of a god that we cannot fathom.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
I just want to say this has been really just the best adventure.
Yeah. I'm really glad we all got a tattoo together and our family.
Yeah.
And Iona's mouth just opens incredibly wide.
I step behind Flandel.
And
I step in front of
this brilliant blue white light starts emanating from Iona's mouth, and it just keeps blaring, and then you see these tiny little blue fingers reach onto the side. Another pair of tiny little blue fingers come to the side. And, oh, we don't just strengthen the world. You see a little fat baby. Little fat, blue, almost gem-like crystalline baby come out. And hurtle out of her mouth onto the floor with like a weird, like kind of crystalline ting. It was, except it's like it's deep and echoey and it's just, it instills you with a lot of fear. And then she's like, it's okay. And Iona transforms into a tiefling and picks it up. She's like, it's okay. You're good. You're good. They're nice. And she's like a wall that like kind of stops the sound and encases it, like shields you from that. And she goes, okay. Oh, wow. Yikes.
Are you okay?
Yeah. It's just my first time being a mother, I guess.
Well, the god is a baby.
Yeah, this is Gregor.
Gregor?
I heard that name once.
Okay.
What about Andul?
Andul's dead.
So you just birthed a new one like it was nothing out of your mouth?
Well, it wasn't nothing. I mean, I had to impart a little bit of my essence and the will of the locale that he's been around. And, well, and then I had to just, like, try and ingest all that information and get it all out at once. And suddenly we're here. And instantly a bunch of picnic tables with really cheap wrapping are around, and there's a park and there's trees everywhere, and it says congratulations, and she's like, you're all at my baby shower, and it's just a little bit of a party.
Oh my god,
as the baby goes,
we did, I
Jen goes, "One moment, please," and walks over to a picnic table and barfs.
Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't get you anything. I didn't know that. Well, I just didn't. I had no idea this was going to happen.
I didn't either, honestly, but this is a hoot.
Is that a new god?
Yeah, not yet. He's going to grow into it, though. Give it time.
Wow.
I mean, not everyone's witnessed the birth of a god, and that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Is that reward enough? I'm tired.
No, I don't think so. Not quite.
Okay. What's owed right now?
You said you would tell Flandel about the thing in his chest.
Mm.
And take us home.
Mm.
Also give us a little something special to help us defeat Gore.
Ooh, defeat Gore. Ooh, defeat Gore.
Or at least information.
Mm.
Maybe his weakness.
Oh, Gregor. Did I hear the name Gore and I really internalized it? I don't know.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Oh, well.
Well. Fucked up name to give your new god baby.
But he's so cute. And it's like, meh.
Ew.
This like little crystalline baby is just like, and even though it's like made of like what looks like a hard material, it just like kind of jiggles a little bit.
Oh,
just a fat baby.
Fat baby.
And she's like, okay, Gregor. She takes out a set of fantasy keys that probably don't go anywhere. She's just jingling them, and she's like, okay. And she's like now putting them, and her hands extend right up next to your chest, and then the jingling is in front of that. And the baby goes, oh. And the eyes flash white and then go back to these like kind of like dark pools of blue. And then she goes, ah, that is a hyperdrive core from a warship of the Fluxian Empire. They kind of went out of business, so that's a really rare thing that you got there.
Who were the Fluxians? Were they, what, and how did they die? And where did they come from?
That I think I know on my own. And her head turns into a Rolodex and it just starts spinning. Like, let me think. The Fluxian Empire existed pre what you call Hearthspace. And it was actually a highly technologically advanced people that had been gifted spell jamming technology. And then, and then they kind of collapsed. But it seems like they touched a few different entities that they shouldn't have, such as Gore.
Oh, okay.
Which is why the asteroid woke him up.
Wild. And why the core reacted with the asteroid.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Well, that explains that thing. And now for part two of the deal. Well,
oh, can I ask one more little question? Because you're like so fun and you just like love thinking a lot. And I feel like this would be maybe a little brain puzzle for you.
Gregor looks like sleepy. Like, okay, we can do like maybe one more question before we...
Do you know anything about planets crystallizing, perchance?
Oh, yeah. That's the gemological virus. Yeah.
Yes. And do you know how to like... Oh, nope, go ahead. You had things to say. Go say your things.
Yeah. The entire onus of Gore is proliferation. And when the wrong person gets a hold of that eldritch power, they can proliferate not just a mortal fleshy bodies, but other types of bodies as well. So that virus is really just an extension of an eldritch touch.
Oh.
Terrifying. Thank you.
Mm, yeah.
Is there any way to reverse it?
Technically, yes. The cure was actually developed via distilled essence of Hadar. And so that's how, way back in the foundings of Hearthspace, a bunch of the people that didn't get destroyed via like cracking or killed in that way were able to be reversed in a sense.
So we have to get the essence of Gore, distill the essence of Gore, because there's another...
The essence of Hadar could probably counter Gore, yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
How do we distill an essence of a god?
Lots of questions.
I mean, I'm sorry, you don't have to, but no idea where we would start with that.
Well, you're the disciple, not me.
Yeah, well, I'm not as smart because I haven't lived a whole millennia, so.
Have I lived a millennium?
I mean, the brain was stolen over a millennia ago.
Yeah, well, I'm just trying to think of how old I actually am.
Don't think too
much. I lost count.
Yeah, it's fine.
Well, great. So first, you asked for a reward, yes?
Something to help us destroy Gore.
A little nervous about that because I'm a little more powerful than I was when I first poked y'all. So how about this? Mm-hmm. And she takes Gregor and kind of like looks at him and she like holds him up and then releases her hands and he's just there floating. And she's like, ah! And she covers her eyes and then plays peekaboo with the baby. And the baby just goes, ah! And that spark of joy makes each of you tingle a little bit in where you were given a gift of Anduil previously. And so, Jen, you feel like your ears are itchy in a good way. Like they're just fun and scratchy for a brief moment.
Okay.
Peek, your eyes like flash with a little bit of an intensity, but you feel like you can actually control the color of them now a little bit better. So that's not always that weird like blue color.
Okay.
And your eye sockets feel warmer.
Nice.
Briefly. Sick. I always love warm eye sockets.
Yes. That's fine.
And Flandel, the hand, the palm, the fingers open.
Okay.
So it's like if you were to put like a little face on it, it's a turkey.
I love it.
Yeah. That should help you somehow. I hope he helped. Well, Gregor is kind of just also learning a little bit, but that much direct energy from an Eldritch God shouldn't, I hope it doesn't kill you.
Well,
come back in 100 years if you start to get sick.
Oh, thank you.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Definitely keep the clock.
These things are radioactive.
Mm. And she says, and now to locate Hearthspace.
Yes.
Yes. Great. Oh. Well.
Is it gone?
It's not gone.
It crystallized?
It's not crystallized.
Is it gory?
It's a little different.
Oh, no.
But that the cloak that was hiding it from me when I didn't have direct access to Gregor's baby is gone. And it's not gone. I mean, like, I just cut through it like butter, so to speak. Do you want me to just drop you off there?
Well, we have like a whole ship with people, some others that we would like to go with.
Oh, no. Okay, great. Then I will give you the coordinates. As soon as you get there, we will put that in. I'm just trying not to overload any one person with too much Eldritch magic here. Yeah, you look like you can handle a bit more than others, Peek. And so she's like, okay, put out your hand.
Okay.
Okay, great. And she slaps it.
It falls off. No.
Out of a Twix bar coming.
When she slaps it, her hand almost like it turns to water as it like kind of crashes through it, mm-hmm. And there's just this like goop that like falls onto your hand, and then it starts to solidify into dust. And she's like, "If you present that to an orrery, it will locate the wild space of Hearthspace." And upon that slap and the crystallization of that, can you give me a charisma saving throw?
I can. I have advantage on charisma saving throws.
Why?
Because of the anchor.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah.
Oh.
That why sounded like you weren't very pumped about that at first.
Why?
Why?
You gave it to me.
Yeah, I learned it from watching you.
Yeah. Someone cares about you, I guess.
I have very high charisma.
You do.
And I have advantage. Do. Let's go. Oh, 16. It's not very good.
In that moment, your eyes flash green, brilliant green, and you become truly closer to this word that has been just thrown around so willy-nilly about you and your connection to this eldritch being as a disciple. And your infused with a rush of power and an instinct to cause harm in this space via Hadar. In this moment, you feel closer to Hadar than you've ever felt. And it's cold. You feel distant and far. And in failing, you cast Hellish Rebuke on Iona at 9th level.
Oh my God.
And green flames appear and encircle her. You want to roll damage for me?
Wow. How much damage does that spell do at 9th level?
It does. It just, it's a lot of, let me see.
Holy shit.
It's a lot of die 10. Right now, I do 3 die 10 at level 3.
Yeah, so you're going to roll 9 d10.
Okay.
Whoa.
So here's 2. Someone keep track for me.
Okay.
That is an 8 and a 6 and a 7. A 5 and a 4. A 9 and an 8. to also tell me when to stop because I'm not keeping track.
You have 2 more.
Okay. And a 6 and a 9.
Okay.
Fuck.
My baby.
My baby. All right. Math, math, math. 54, 58 points of damage. Oh my gosh. Wait, it's actually higher.
Yeah,
okay. Hold on a second. Let me just add it up.
Not to be that person, but
no, that's recorded. Fair.
So for me, 62. Let me know if that's right, Nick.
What were you thinking, Peek?
I wasn't.
Oh, 62. It's 62.
It's 62.
It's 62.
She told me to hold my hand out, and I did.
You monster.
She's a mother. Okay, so with 62 damage, you see before you, Iona just looks shocked and is absolutely incinerated and just burning with this green flame all over her. And you are all transported to a fiery hellscape, but instead of deep red like you would associate with a traditional hell, it's blue flame everywhere. And you get the feeling that this is just all she can think about now as she's covered in these green flames that have come from you. Gregor cries out, and you all are immediately ejected from this god back to Azor. And you see that the husk is fine, except in this one silver pool, there's a green pulse that's happening as the husk, what contains Iona and Gregor, floats away.
Oh.
What was that?
Peek is covered in sweat and gripping the, because the sand, the dust crystallized.
Mm-hmm. So you have it.
Just gripping it. And I don't know.
It's okay. Jen pokes Peek first to make sure nothing. Sorry, just making sure. I'm gonna touch your arms and we're gonna take deep breaths.
I need to go to the orrery.
Oh, okay, go.
I need to get this out of my hand.
Okay, we're gonna go to the orrery.
Be careful.
Oh no. Okay, well, just walks towards the bridge. She captain's bridge.
Mm. Oh, good.
We're not. No. No. No.
Maximinus,
are those my friends that I hear?
Get the fuck out.
Are those my beautiful friends that I hear? Nobody. That I've missed for so many episodes?
Wonderful. So you all go to the She Captain's Bridge, and there's a little crystogram of the little frog boy, Azor, just going like, hey, I move smoother now. Oh, you guys look, are you okay?
No time for games. We have to get somewhere now.
Oh, okay. Yeah, let me bring the orrery down, and the orrery is presented and it projects up the various wild spaces that were there. Your eyes no longer detect kind of like boons or anything like that. You just see worlds and you like see rich information, almost as if by like looking at one of these spaces, you just get a cursory understanding of what's contained within. And as you're holding this dust, it materializes into a mote of light that pulses in what you understand to be the location of hearth space.
That's home.
Do you focus on it?
No. I said, do we go back to hearth space and get out of here? Do we go and find Gore and just obliterate it or try to?
Is that even possible? I mean, we might be slightly stronger than we were before we last encountered Gandar, but I doubt we can defeat a god, even a manifestation of one.
I'm not going to lie to you. I'm usually all for sacrificing somebody that is not my beautiful essence and presence in the world. However, Peek, I have a feeling that this is going to come at a great cost, specifically to you. Yeah. And I don't want to make that choice for you, but I'm team whatever you want to do.
Do you feel like yourself?
What do you mean?
You look a little spooked.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay.
So Peek, with the dust or crystal or whatever it is in her hand, looks at looks at Jen, looks at Flannel. So where do we go?
Perception check.
That's a nat one.
Dirty 20.
I'm looking at them. I'm not looking.
The breaking case of emergency is in your hand.
Oh, when did that come back?
I don't know. With the dirty 20, it happened at some point when you got here and you've been holding it the whole time.
I got a 22.
You here, who are you thinking about right now? What are you thinking about right now? What's like most present in your brain?
I'm thinking about my planet versus my two friends. My family, dare I say.
You're thinking of the Valkyr homeworld.
Yeah.
And as that kind of like comes into your head with a 22, you don't hear anything.
I don't know how this got here, but I am still holding this right now. I just realized right now. I don't know. I don't know what to do. I feel like this is bad. And I hold up the ball of blue goo with the red energy.
Center.
Yeah.
The nougat center.
Cursed.
The creamy, cursed center. And I say, I don't know. All I really want to do is go home. But I don't know if it's right to bring this back into hearth space. I feel like that's a bad idea.
Agreed.
Then what do we do? Where do we go?
Stop looking at me! I don't know!
She captain.
Azor's like, she captain, this is your deck, your bridge.
Why's fucking Maxi Waxy to make a ridiculous decision that fucks us all over when you need him? Well, I'm going to be very honest, team. I think whatever is happening, the vision that I had, I think it might already be coming true. I don't know if Valkyr is the home that I think I have anymore. Not that it was necessarily. My thought is we break in case of emergency and we leave it here and we exit. It's definitely the
just in the middle of the astral sea.
Yep. It's the cop-out plan.
The problem is that this thing might be able to navigate the astral sea better than we could initially. We don't know.
Did you tell us about your vision?
Yeah,
Yeah.
What if it's a self-fulfilling prophecy? What if we go back home, we bring this thing with us, it breaks out and it becomes the next gemological virus that consumes all of Hearthspace, at least Valkyr.
You said you feel like your home isn't really a home anymore? Like,
I couldn't hear anything.
Can I use the Ori to find it, since I can like see all the information on the planets?
Do you look at Hearthspace?
No, I look for...
Hearthspace is the wild space that contains Valkyr, the home planet of the Dragonborn. So if you want to focus on Hearthspace and look at it, and it's not like you don't have control of the flow of information. You just open yourself up to it as you're observing some of these wild spaces.
Right.
the perception check that you rolled specifically was to take advantage of that just in the moment, seeing like various spaces. And so with the nat one, I just didn't give you anything.
Yeah.
If you wanted to focus on hearth space itself, you could.
Okay, I focus on hearth space. I find hearth space.
It's weird. You don't see a familiar wild space in any capacity. And in fact, everything is ethereal in a weird way. It's almost as if you're looking at everything through mist.
They can see that too, right?
Mm-mm.
Oh, something's up with hearth space. It's covered in a mist. I don't know what that means.
Does that mean?
Nope,
okay.
No.
She, Captain, has a question for you guys.
Got it.
Yes, Captain.
Would you rather go back to a hearth space that may not be home or fight for a hearth space that is home? Does that make sense?
Kind of. I did feel inspired, but I didn't understand.
Okay, basically, do you want to go back to a place where we absolutely know no?
We can't go back to this. We absolutely know something's
second,
wrong with it.
And Jen turns around and like slaps her face a couple times. You get it together. Okay. Would you rather stay here and fight it out and with a possible guarantee of going back to what we know as Hearthspace, or would you like to bow out now and go back to Hearthspace, but it probably is not accurate / correct? Did that make more sense?
Yeah, it did.
Azor's little head not hologram, like frog head nods.
Yeah.
Thank you, Azor. So glad we've become friends. Anyways.
Well, what do you think, Flandel?
I feel like we shouldn't bring this thing anywhere near hearth space, whether it's the hearth space we remember or it's a different one. We had to find a way to destroy this, or at least capture it or seal it away. And then maybe we can return and find out what's going on with the hearth space, but I just don't want to go anywhere near it.
Sounds like we should go find Gandar and maybe release that motherfucker on him then.
It might make him more powerful because it's a part of him anyways. Either way, I'm down to kill Gandar. I said when we first, you know, saw him that I was going to murder that thing.
You did, sort of even, yeah. You didn't even like him before he was...
No.
Yeah. And if I'm being honest, neither did I.
Yeah.
No, it's allowed.
I'm okay. Gagged.
I love this energy from you.
Yeah.
Azor says I'm gagged. Gooped and gagged.
Sounds like we're gonna go kill a motherfucking monster then, aren't we?
A god.
A fucking little prissy god.
The brother.
Yeah, one of them. Okay.
Where is the palm, where's the hand located right now?
It's actually on the side of his head. Like on the right side of his head.
Is anything touching it?
I don't think so.
Cool.
What do you mean by that?
I just mean I asked it a question. And
is it glowing or anything?
No, it's not glowing.
There's still that pink outline on it, isn't there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, so it's like, it's right up, it. I guess technically the collar of his shirt is like right there. But
is it?
Yeah.
Oh, touching it?
No, it's not.
Okay.
Forget about it. It's not.
Okay.
Because he unbuttoned it. It would be like away from his... Yeah, no. That's not how clothes work. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's what I was just curious.
That's not how new cool Flandel is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's almost like you have a cool neck tattoo of a hand.
Mm-hmm.
Which, that's kind of a kinky tattoo to get.
Yeah.
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 What about it?
Wow. Cool. Just had to check.
Let's go murder.
I don't like that. What the fuck is going on?
Yeah, questions.
I don't want to win D&D anymore. I don't like this, you guys.
I just want to survive D&D.
So as a group, you've kind of resolved yourself to not necessarily going to hearth space just yet. Number one, looks all misty and weird. Number two, you can't hear your people. And you get this sense that you can hear the essence of whatever you're thinking of. Like, you have supernatural echolocation in some ways.
Lit. Wait.
You want to think about something else?
Gandar? Is that a bad idea?
I don't think so.
Gandar?
Go for it.
Yeah, just to see.
As you focus on Gandar, you hear this, like, whoom, whoom, whoom. And it feels like when you were first in that space of the ship, when you kind of first encountered the turned Gandar.
Oh, the heartbeat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it's far away and it's growing further away. Rapidly.
Further away?
Mm-hmm. It's not coming towards you at all. In fact, the opposite direction.
Team, he's running.
Give me a investigation or insight. Oh, give me insight. Insight is perfect. To sense the motivation of your best friend, Gandar.
Bestie.
23. That's right.
Strong insight. I'm insightful as fuck.
The brain of Andul is catnip for eldritch gods. And a wounded, newly born god sounds yummy, yummy, yummy. And so Iona, in ejecting you and moving far away, operating in fear for this newborn god, Gregor, is moving away, and you get the feeling, you have the insight that Gandar is in pursuit, whereas Hadar craves the demolition of the Trinity. Gore craves the combination.
Okay, I share all this with you guys.
Ah.
Ah. I think, we should destroy Gandar.
I think we have to go after that mother.
We have to intercept. We have to intercept and destroy. Neutralize.
Yeah. The mind and soul can exist without the body.
Ooh.
Wow.
Good fucking point. Come on, mental gymnastics.
Yeah, something cosmic is happening here and metaphysical, and I don't know, but the basic premise is that little baby god is hurt because of us.
Yeah.
Well, okay, Iona.
Well, because
I wouldn't
of me.
Take, like, full credit for that. No, Iona did that, you guys. Let's not take full credit, okay? That little glass crystal baby. I'm not a fan of babies, let alone freaking crystal babies. What the hell?
No.
Do you think if we, the three of us, think of Gandar the way that we thought of Iona, that we will just bring him here?
I wonder. I mean, it
Shall
would be.
Shall we try?
Again, if you guys are ready.
Maybe we should get the others as reinforcements back up here while we do this.
I don't think that's a bad idea. And I wouldn't mind a short rest. Just a little sit down for a minute.
Yeah, you sense that there is some conclusion that needs to be had here. You can't catch up to a god. And you can't pursue a god that is being pursued by an avatar of a god in just this basic ship. So that is a problem that needs to be solved somehow. Relatively speaking, you are not in danger in the immediate sense. Whatever is going on with your world doesn't seem to be accelerating or decelerating anyway. It just seems to be there. So if you needed to take a long rest in this moment, you could. You could take some time to try and find a way to reckon with these newfound powers that you have, with this newfound knowledge that you have, with probably for the first time in what feels like a long time, a sense of clarity of purpose in some ways, where finally something went right and then very wrong, and it's got to be solved somehow. But you can't do it very well without having full health and full spell slots.
Okay. Well, listen, we're pretty roughed out emotionally, mentally, physically. I'm feeling fine, truthfully, but like, you know. Maybe we should sleep on it and see what we see.
Sounds logical.
I'm really tired and my body still hurts from when Andal's brain vacuumed us up.
Yeah.
That was violent. So, realizing that a rest is the right recipe right now,
What do y'all do in this moment before you lay your head down to kind of collect your thoughts?
It's so lonely in my mansion.
No.
You know what's the worst part? Is I was maybe, just maybe, gonna go visit Max.
Don't lie to me. I don't need to hear
it. Okay, we're fighting. Love it. Love it. I finally got over it. I got food in my belly. I took a poo. I got it out. But no.
Clearly.
We're gonna fight. Got it. Great.
No, you have whatever scenes you want. I'm just wanted to do Doja Cat as Maximinus for a second.
Nice.
So lonely in my mansion.
Okay, well, I'm gonna go sleep. And in the morning, we'll reconvene in the Sheik Captain's quarters and we'll figure out where to go, okay?
Sounds good.
Okay, sleep well. And he heads down to his room.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, Azor, are you online?
Hey, yeah.
Hey.
Boop boop.
Hi.
Sorry, I don't make beeping sounds.
That's okay.
It felt appropriate.
You were trying something new and it's cool. I like it. Couple things. We're probably gonna go after Gandar.
The little hologram is like just counting, yeah, like in front of you. He's like enhanced so that there's like a little bit of a little crystal projection in like on the walls wherever he's needed, just to like look like he's there. So it's a little frog guy going like two things.
Nice. Good. We're probably going after Gandar tomorrow, just to let you know. First thing.
The smile goes to a frown.
Yeah, not good. I think I asked you about this already, but the mind flayers refer to you as a weapon. Do you know why they would think that?
I like to think of myself as a friend, I think. No.
Okay.
I mean, like, we've seen so many beautiful natural spaces. I don't think I'm a weapon.
Do you have defensive capabilities, weapon, anything?
Yeah, I mean, like, if I can, like, make my little, like, limbs be sharp, and I can try and ram something, I guess. But, like, as far as, like, actual wild space combat, like, you need, like, guns and stuff for that, and, like, magic and fireballs, right?
Yeah, I think. I mean, your guess is as good as mine, but okay. Well, and you're sure you came from, you were made in Threk 12 years ago or something?
We've been on this journey together.
Okay, well, if you have any more insights, you know where to find me.
I sure do.
Okay. The second thing.
Hmm.
Can you watch Peak closely?
What should I watch for? Peak's a friend.
I don't know. I'm worried.
Okay, do you want me to report back if I...
Like, if anything strange happens, anything, you know...
You know she can change her colors at, like, a whim, right? Without me involved.
Yeah, I do know that.
That's strange.
It is. There's a lot of strange things about her, and we need to be on our guard now.
Okay. Can do, Buckaroo.
Okay, thanks. And it's imperative that she doesn't know about any of that, okay?
Uh-oh. Okay, I'll try.
Okay.
But if she captain asks, I'll have to answer per the... bylaws of captain ship protocol.
Damn it. Okay. Great. Well, obfuscate. Flandel would not know that word. Flandel's nose starts.
You see
bleeding.
The little like frog eyes like crisscross like what?
Okay. Well, be a little obtuse.
I'll hide it, but if she captain asks, I'll answer.
Okay.
Boop.
Thanks.
You see the little frog's like projection on the wall, like walks off.
And Flandel just gets undressed and gets in bed and just sort of like stares at the wall.
Do you lay down on your pillow?
I do, yeah. I'm trying to go to bed.
Which side?
I'm looking. Okay, so I'm on my right side. So I'm facing away from the rest of the room into the wall.
Mm.
Yeah.
And the tattoo's on the right side of your neck?
Mm-hmm.
The handprint?
Yeah.
And is the handprint probably touching a pillow then at that point?
I think it is touching a pillow, yeah.
Mm. Cool, 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 cool. You suddenly give me a perception check.
Okay. 14.
You get a rush of information into your little brain about this pillow. And you're suddenly kind of informed, like, this was actually made in Krimva. It's about 4 years old. That fabric was a really, really tight 500 thread count.
I sit up.
Case and,
I lay my head down again.
The delicate down of these feathers are actually from a deep purple fowl that actually migrate at a really weird
pattern. Is it up?
They do it.
The hand floats to my face, like right over where my face
is. Sure.
And then I look around my room and then I look at the wall and I just smack my head into the wall.
The light azure and the actual alloy metal that it's concocted from actually all originates from one single core point of this ship. And the alloy metal in and of itself, while newly created and destroyed every once in a while, has existed for a very long time. Probably 800 years prior is when it first came into being. The alloy metal actually has a tensile strength of 560 kilonewtons, and it is actually very resistant to fracture. The shearing force is able to withstand that of a meteor if it were to actually hit. So it's probably one of the safest places that you could ever be right now is right inside here. Once upon a time, a very long time ago, the alloy metal actually was able to form into some type of a weapon and can get very sharp or very dull. It really depends on the will of the user in some ways. And there's approximately 7 breathing bodies on the ship right now, and there's actually a weird there's a room of bones. That's interesting.
Oh my god! I pull my face away from the wall. Weird. Okay. Better tell the others about this tomorrow, I guess. And I sleep face up. Looking at the ceiling.
Great. And with this newfound information, you drift to sleep, and the faint outline of pink that's on the face that's kind of outlining, it kind of comes into focus, and you realize that in truth, the hand has been touching that pink this whole time. And you're aware in this moment that Tallow is also aware of you in this moment. And you drift off.
Oh. Tallow cake.
Oh, you wake up in this realization.
She's connected to you forever now.
Oh my god.
I knew I didn't like that pink shit.
She keeping tabs.
Wonderful. What do either of you do?
I think that before I go and rest, I'm going to go to Jill in the study, wherever she is.
Wonderful. You kind of navigate pretty expertly, and Azor's was a little like in the hallways. Azor's little like kind of frog projections, like, I moved it up here.
Great.
This is guiding you to the little library that Jill's been in for quite a long time. And you get to the door.
I knock and I enter because it's just a study, right?
So yeah. You see a bunch of pages of books kind of like torn out, and they trace a kind of like sigil on the center of this table. Jill's just kind of like looking at it, just being like,
How's it?
Oh, hello.
Hey.
God, I haven't done this voice in a while. Hello. You caught me by surprise there. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Did you get the brain? Are we going home? Is Torin back?
Torin's back.
Cool, great.
Yeah.
Well, brain first. Brain's more important. I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. We got the brain. We returned the brain. Something's wrong with home.
Hmm.
We don't know. It's like covered by a fog.
Oh.
So we don't...
Can you describe the fog to me?
Yeah, and I do.
Yeah, so one of the core pieces of it was that it was not just foggy, but like misty, and it felt like things were, I don't know, distant, and there was a lack of presence.
Yeah.
And so she kind of hears all that, and she's going to make an arcana check. Mm. And with a 18, she turns to you and she goes, one second. And actually give me a second to look up a spell real quick. Oh, because I don't have the entire spell list memorized. Oh.
What?
I know, it's my failure as a GM that I like have to think about the explicit.
Oh my God.
I know. Like, how do you ever trust me? She takes out a bag of holding that she has on her, and she starts rifling through it, and she's like, yes. She pulls out a scroll. She hands it to you, and she's like, all right, I need you to, I have a theory, and I need you to prove whether or not it is, and so I want to try something with you.
Okay.
Hold my hand, and we're going to cast a spell simultaneously. I'm giving you this scroll so you can do it. I know it, so I'll be fine. I wrote the scroll, so I can, you know, whatever.
I have to warn you. Last time someone asked for my hand, a hellish rebuke just came out of me, and I hurt this person.
Are you okay?
I think so.
Okay.
I might need some rebalancing. I don't know.
You seem... We'll be okay.
Okay.
Even if there was something that lashes out in this moment, I know it's not your intent. Okay. And knowledge and learning is more important than the risk for me right now. And I trust you. So let's try.
Okay. I just want you to be aware so that you can be prepared if something happens.
Got it. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And she holds your hand. And the scroll that she handed you is a scroll of Blink.
Oh.
And she says, ready?
As I'll ever be.
And so you get to only just use this once. It's not like it's permanently added to your spell list. But you both cast it. It is third level, so it's fully within your capability to cast as a warlock. Mm-hmm. And so you cast it. It's almost like nothing happened for a little bit there. And then there's a pop. And you shift. What Blink does is there is a 50% chance at any moment that you pop into the ethereal plane. And while on the ethereal plane, you are completely incorporeal to the regular world around you. Also, while in the ethereal plane, you're able to kind of like move freely and pop back into space. And so you pop, and she kind of turns to ask you while you're both in the ethereal plane together looking at Azor and everything around you. And she says, did it look anything like this? And what you see around you is silvery mist and fog covering everything and a deep sense of kind of like emptiness, as if there's not really much around. And you don't even need to make a perception check to know. It's like, yeah, that's a dead ringer.
Yeah, it's just like this.
So you all kind of like pop back into existence. And she's like, we're going to pop in and out for the next minute or so. It's a little bit random, but nothing harmful. Luckily, since you and I are in sync because we were holding hands, we can just have this conversation. Like, pop, you're back in the ethereal. Right. Pop, you're out of it. And that lasts for about a minute. But I think that what you were seeing was the ethereal plane version of Hearthspace. And actually, and she starts like rummage through, and then she's like looking at her notes, and then, and she's in the ethereal. Damn it. So annoying.
Very.
pop back, and she's kind of like looking through again, and she's like, that would make sense why it's so hard to detect that space.
So someone is shielding it.
They didn't shield it. They inverted it. And part of the way that they get through the plane is by shifting mid-transition into the wild space. All we can see in here right now is just a ghost. It's the ethereal plane version. To remove it from the rest of the astral sea, you can't just remove a world from existence of other worlds. You can't remove a wild space from all the other wild spaces. And so they just decided, what if we flipped it? And so anyone that visited, they just go to the ghost space where nothing really happens, or maybe something does, but where our home, what we know, is the true side.
So they did that to protect it from the outside, which is why you need a license to come out into the space that we're in right now?
Something about that license allows you to not just, as you move through the barrier between the astral sea and the wild space, it also flips you so that you can actually not be in the ethereal plane when you move into that space.
So in order to go back, we would have to go in and blink the entire ship out of the ethereal space?
If we could sync to the material space, yeah, if we can somehow figure out a very powerful version of blink, that's essentially what those passes are that get put on the ships.
Right.
This makes so much sense. And she's like excited and she's like kind of rummaging and she's like, oh shit. And you keep popping back and popping in and she's like, okay, well, I'll just be patient.
Yeah. Okay.
And when you're in the ethereal plane, it's got this like kind of ghostly like warble coming in and out, and you're just, you can hear each other fine, but it's like weird. And then it's a little disorienting to keep hearing it come in and out. But
right.
At this point, it's kind of worn off and you're just kind of there inside of Azor and you're like, okay, it's
like a hiccup.
Minute pass, yeah.
Yeah. I also don't think that I have the strength for it, but I would like your help at some point, maybe with helping me commune with Hadar, or at least balancing me in some way. So what happened was Iona gave me these crystals. They touched my hand. I was suddenly in tune. Hellish rebuke, like I told you, and then I'm pretty sure I almost killed her. I've never inflicted that much damage on anybody.
Well, I mean, if she's the keeper of a god, even if you were to do, say, a very powerful hellish rebuke, unless there was something poisonous about the different gods fighting one another, but I don't know. I doubt you killed her.
I don't think I killed her, but she didn't.
What's more worrying is you lost control in that moment.
Yeah.
It's different because Gandar always seemed in control, even after communing.
Right. But he also doesn't seem like that's him.
Yes. There's many fewer affirmations of the day after he...
God. All right.
Taking over. Not small business and all that.
I'm going to leave you now. Thank you.
Of course.
For the explanation.
Thank you. This is a breakthrough. I'm going to get to research.
Yeah. Good night.
No, good night.
I leave and go to my room.
Cute. And as you kind of lay down to sleep, you now just have a greater understanding of like how the planets came together to remove themselves from the world and or from the entirety of the multiverse in many ways. You start to wonder, it's like, who's even, what type of magic is even powerful enough to flip a plane? Is that like possible to flip an entire wild space into reverse existence, so to speak? It kind of defies the laws of nature in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
Which is maybe disconcerting, but it's a distant thought for now as you kind of feel a bit more safe in that your world isn't a dead ghost world necessarily, and you've got bigger fish to fry right now.
I have kind of a weird question, which maybe won't even be relevant. I have beast sense.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering if I could use it on Azor.
Beast sense on Azor?
Yeah.
Read me the language of beast sense.
You touch a willing beast for the duration of the spell, which is up to an hour. You can use your action to see through the beast's eyes and hear what it hears and continue to do so until you return to your normal senses. While perceiving through the beast's senses, you gain the benefits of any special senses possessed by that creature, though you are blinded and deafened to your own surroundings.
Yeah, and this is something you've never thought of, and it's an application of your magic that is kind of wild. Give me an arcana check to see if you can adapt this spell to seeing through, and you know at this point that it's not just like, this isn't a weird arcano AI. There's something deeper here. You've all figured this out at least. So you're trying.
Eight.
Okay. You cast Beast Sense and you're not able to sync up with Azor with just an eight. You need to find either a more central place of Azor's power or something that's more kind of core. But where you are now, you can't get a good lock.
Okay. Jen stays at the She Captain's Bridge by herself. And she goes, Azor!
And you see a little, like, frog person hologram appear. Hey!
Hello, we're shifting. We're in mode serious code red SOS emergency time. Wrap it up. Let's get jiggy with it, bitch.
His little eyes turn into, like, rotating hazard symbols and is, like, starts to wave little flags. And he's like, emergency. Yes, got it.
Exactly. But we're keeping this our little secret.
Secret.
Secret. Emergency.
Like Flandel secrets.
Exactly what you are going to tell me, which is part of my plan. But first, before you tell me that, what I need you to do is I need security cameras all over the ship. Everything you see, I see. Everything you hear, I hear. Understood? Mm. And I want it all in the She Captain Bridge.
Oh.
What's hmm?
Well, I'm processing. You want displays of every single security camera that I could possibly set up?
Correct.
I've never made a security camera before.
I know you're very crafty, so feel free to get wild with it, but try to make them discreet.
Discreet.
Discreet, but fun.
Are you guys okay?
No, it is emergency. SOS. Secret time.
I just feel like I'm doing a lot of secrets right now.
I'm sorry. You can dump them all on me. You can share everything with me. We're friends.
It's okay.
Oh, okay. But you will tell me Flandel's secret because I am She Captain and I command it. Thank you very much.
Okay. Yeah, Flandel's just nervous about Peek and wants me to keep an eye on her.
Oh, no shit. I'm doing the same fucking thing. Oh, right. Well, perfect. Okay. We're all on the same page.
I love Peek.
I love Peek too, but Peek has been possibly possessed by evil.
Oh.
Exactly.
That doesn't sound like her.
That sounds like emergency SOS.
Okay. I'm going to roll with advantage to see if he can set up security cameras.
Great.
And that's a technology check, which I guess is Arcana. Well, good thing that's advantage because that is a nat 1 and 18 on the die. So... I've been playing as he has a +4, so it's a 22. He kind of figures it out. He's been playing around with the idea of having this like little sentient boy body thing, this like little frog thing around. And so he's been ruminating on the nature of eyes and this really kind of like super, super shiny metal that just is like super polished like a mirror. Turns out that he's kind of like looking through that and like putting them in the corner. So every corner now looks a little rounded and he starts to display these like screens within all of the like suspended crystals for you to peruse. And he's really good at this. And he's just got like every corner of the ship is up and ready for you to start to do it. He's like, I think I got it. I got it.
It's looking fab.
Wow. I got it. Yeah. Yeah.
So talent.
Wow. Cameras.
Security team. Wow. Oh, yes. The talent.
Oh. What about the toilet? I'll take that out. That feels
take
wrong.
That one out. Okay. But I want audio. I want toilet audio. Just in case people are secret sharing on the toilet.
I really shouldn't have hit the pasta that hard.
I want to hear no messiness. That is the one. Actually, you never fucking know. I'll hear his bullshit. I could use a little laugh.
I'll just mute that feed for now. I know how this one goes.
Oh, perfect. And I'm so sorry.
It's okay.
We do this to us all on the shitter.
I don't have opinions on it.
I still don't like
that. How does that make you feel?
Very uncomfortable.
Well, what happens if you call me? And you're on the pooper.
Leave me. What? Just do the thing.
I did it.
Oh. You pooped too?
No.
Oh, sorry. I'm getting confused.
The little like frog guy like has little spirals in his eyes. He's like, me too. I'd set up so many security cameras.
There's audio, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great.
You have DEFCON 5 security situation in the bridge right now, all by yourself with Azor.
Perfect. And then can we just like, I don't know, seal off all of these doors so that nobody can enter?
The bridge?
Yes.
Yeah, totally. And the ally wood like slams down and it looks like tree bark, metal tree bark.
Perfect. Thank you oh so much. And can I get a comfy chair that I could recline and sleep in, but still open my eyes and see every single fucking camera?
Yeah, totally. You see that a comfy chair has been brought from a different room. Who knows what room that was in? And on one of the cameras, you see Torin is about to sit down and he completely plants it and falls on his ass. He's like, what? God damn it, Azor. And a little frog appears there and is like, sorry, she captain's orders. And that disappears. It's like, Jen hates me.
Perfect.
And you've got your little seat.
Great. I sit down in the chair. Oh, I need one for Bim Bim.
Great. A little stool kind of appears and he's like, that's from the banquet hall.
And then I, thank you, Azor. That will be all for now.
Or besides, you call it cafeteria. Whatever. Yeah.
Okay, that will be all. And then I look at Bim Bim and I go, my sweet precious baby boo boo. I am so sorry. I have neglected you so. There has been a lot going on and a lot of people taking my attention, which is not normal because usually I only love you. However, we are in emergency DEFCON 5. I don't even know what that means. I just heard somebody say it once.
Arr.
Exactly. Big barks for a big scary situation.
Arr.
Yes. So, my sweet Bim Bim, while I am asleep, I need you to be eyes peeled at all of these fucking security screens at all times. And if something goes on or if you hear anything, I need you to wake Mummy up and let me know.
Give me an animal handling check. With advantage, it's your familiar. Animal handling is a skill, yeah. It's more like, it's to get him to follow your orders, but it's like, how good can he like process complex instructions of managing a DEFCON 5? 15? 15's pretty good. You see that he's like, kind of like looking, he's like, and with his nose, he's able to like change a screen around and kind of like look and stuff. And he's like, and he's like going. And then in one of the corners, he sees Tor and he's like, then keeps going.
Great. And I pat his head and I give him a little treat and then I go to bed.
Before you go to bed.
Oh. Hmm? Oh, God.
He sees something.
Ooh.
He starts barking.
Which screen?
And it's a screen to a room that you've never seen before. And that's not completely out of the question. Azor is making random rooms all the time. But this one, it looks like there is a tiny room. And it looks like there's just this like pillar of light in the center. And there's a hilt there.
Wait, a hilt?
Yeah.
Like, sorry, I feel like I'm maybe misunderstanding what that is with my thoughts.
A hilt of a sword.
Right?
Yeah. No, you know exactly.
Yeah, I was just like, wait, just a hilt.
You see a hilt that's like in a pedestal that's at the center of a pillar of light.
Azor. Azor. What is that tiny room with the pool of light thingy over that I see on this screen that I have never seen before?
Oh, that's the janitor's closet.
How do I get to it?
Oh, why didn't you go there?
Something weird is in there and I want to look at it.
It's just a mop. But oh, it's she captain's orders. If you want to go in there, go for it.
Yeah, it's my orders, bitch. What do you think you're talking to?
it's not accessible right now, but I can move it. Oh, it's hard to move. Where do you want it?
Wherever I can get to it.
And you see that it's like shaking in the camera. It's like A little knob appears on the side of the wall to where you are now.
Okay, I go
in. It's like, there it is.
Okay, I go into the room.
And it says janitor's closet in there. And you open it. And it doesn't look like any janitor's closet you've ever seen. There's a hilt of a sword in the middle of a pillar of light and a pedestal.
Can I do an investigation?
You can do perception. You can do investigation. Okay. You can do insight and Azor. Whatever you want.
Is it a coffee cup?
It's a coffee Jesus. Cup.
Wow. Coffee.
Cup.
Coffee is a queer 20. It's always. True. Every time you wake up and you have that in your cup, it's a 20 for the day.
It's true.
I was literally holding the dice earlier on the coffee cup shape onto my forehead.
Your third eye?
Yes, into my third eye, dead ass, while y'all were doing stuff earlier. And I was like, give me
information. Do it.
So you got some human oils on the side to get it to stick?
Oh, hell yeah, I did. And I will clean your dice later.
Sick. That's smart. Great. So this is not a janitor's closet. It is called a janitor's closet because... Lisa...
I just imagine, like, oh, I rolled a one. This is a janitor's closet that you have seen before. There is a Swiffer.
Crazy.
So silly. Sorry.
Yeah, that's your nat 20 gets you. This is not a janitor's closet. That's period. The end. No more information given. Nothing required. No. I will continue.
Sorry.
No, it's funny. It's not a janitor's closet at all. This is a room that was hidden from not just the rest of the crew. It was not attached to anything. It just was this pillar of light in the middle. It was also hidden from Azor himself in a way. It wasn't until he kind of went ham with installing security cameras that someone else could really kind of like view it. But like he couldn't see inside of it and wasn't like aware of it. So with that nat 20 kind of perception check, this feels like something powerful and private.
Whoa, powerful and private?
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you go inside?
Can I use my ear from the outside to hear? Is that only for like wild spaces and stuff or for planets and things?
You can try and think about something.
Could I try to think about this, that pillar of light and the hilt and mm-hmm. see if it does anything?
Sure.
What would that be? Just a regular roll?
Perception check. Yeah. And like, what are you thinking about as you think on the pillar of light? Like, are you trying to tell if it's dangerous, if it could cause harm to things that you love? Are you trying to see if it could be helpful? Are you trying to just, what are you trying to listen for?
I'm trying to listen for why it is here.
Mm. Great.
Like, why would it have been put here in the first place?
I mean, the why, I don't think you'll get the why. You'll get with that nat 20, like whatever that role is, we can resolve that. With the nat 20, I'll also give you, you kind of get the feeling it's always been there.
Okay. So then, yeah, I guess, is it dangerous or harmful? Do you care what I got?
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you even care?
I got a 13.
I only care about your 20s.
I only care about my 20s.
No, your 13, it just sounds kind of like serene, and it almost feels like you're entering into a place, or like you're viewing a place that has just been quiet for so long, and you hear the like weight of that silence.
Okay.
There's like a general hum about most of the ship for the most part, and in here it's just kind of like silent.
I'm gonna wait till I have reinforcements. Do I trust anybody? No.
Yeah, you like how do I seal myself in here? Start DEFCON 5, right. Make sure no one else, and then observe everyone, because I don't trust.
fuck it. Okay, I turn around and I look at, no, wait. Ew, your faces made me feel like that's the wrong choice.
Oh, you're
no, just,
it's excitement.
It's exciting about what you're going
to
choose.
Okay, I turn to Beam Beam and I go, Beam Beam, if Mummy seems in distress or in danger or like she needs help, go get Serica. Got it?
Oh.
Azor, let Beam Beam out of this crazy bunker I have created if necessary.
You got it. Safe room, a little less safe.
Fine. Okay, and I walk into the closet.
Hammy, as you go back into the closet, we think about... we think about all those times that you've ever, you know, put on heteronormativity. No, so you go into the janitor's closet of Azor, and the stillness is just... It's a feeling of reverence as you enter into this space. There's no words anywhere. There's nothing. There's just the hilt of the sword in the middle of a pillar of light.
I touch it.
It's warm to the touch.
Can I pull it out?
You can. Give me an athletics check.
I may be totally putting myself in the shitter here. 12.
12. It doesn't budge, and as you kind of like pull on it, give me a perception check.
17.
The lights behind you flicker.
Okay, I step away from it.
Okay. You want to try again?
Kind of.
Okay. give it a shot with advantage this time.
Athletics again? Doesn't matter.
Oh. Yeah.
No. Oh my God, which dice do I use? This feels high stakes.
Ooh, back to the silver.
Yeah.
Oh.
Okay, 19.
19. With a 19, you successfully pull this short sword from this central pedestal. And as you do that, all the lights behind you shut down. And you pull this sword out, and you suddenly are so used to hearing an external helpful voice ready to do whatever it can. But as you are holding it, the silver kind of like turns into a question mark, and it just then turns into the face of a little frog, and it turns at you, and it's like, Jen, what's happening?
I don't fucking know.
And that's the end of the episode. Gentle listener, just for you, I'll share that giving a character the ability to just touch things and know lore about whatever they want felt like a good idea at the time, and now here we are, and I've made my job a lot harder. Hope you enjoyed that episode of Queers on Dice. It's truly one of my favorites, and we just keep making more and more better ones. And if you agree with me, then you can find us on all podcasting platforms like Spotify, Apple Podcasts, etc. Please give us 5 stars. That makes a huge difference in terms of our outreach. And if you really like what we do, then you can find us at patreon.com/queersondice, where you can get amazing benefits such as access to exclusive content such as our Corsets and Corpses campaign, which is a personal favorite of mine as well. Also, you'll be able to hear your name shouted out in the outro on our podcast. Such beautiful names as Corey, Zach, Kevin, Ryan, Osner, Axel, Chris, and Ube Milk Tea. Honestly, without you guys, we would not be able to continue doing what we're doing. So we really appreciate the support. It makes us able to make the queer content that we love to see in the world. So thank you. All right. That's enough from me, but thank you for tuning in, and we'll see you in 2 weeks. Ta-ta.
What have I done? I put it back. No,
and I put it back.
Put it back real fast.